Morning. Well, good news is we're still in Matthew 21, the fourth Sunday in that chapter. The better news is we're still not going to finish it after today. Awesome last week's message as we heard about the fig tree. And how many read the post that was put up in response to the message? Oh, that was awesome. Just the testimony of one of those guys on death row in Bali and how that scripture really spoke to him. It was tremendous. But I'm going to take on the next portion of that chapter. So we'll read from verse 23. Says, when Jesus returned to the temple and began teaching, the leaders and priests and elders came to him. They demanded, by what authority are you doing these things? Who gave you the authority? Jesus said, I'll tell you by what authority I do these things if you answer me one question. Did John's authority to baptize come from heaven, or was it merely human? So they talked about it. They realized that if they said, oh, it's human, the crowd was going to get upset. But if they said, oh, it's from heaven, then Jesus said, well, why didn't you respond to it? So they were in a dilemma, and so they said, we don't know. And Jesus said, well, then I don't need to answer your question. Because you got no authority to ask the question. You can't discern whether something is from heaven or from earth. So who are you to ask for authority? Now, they were coming from a place where the Roman authority had recognized them as an authority. And what they said goes, as far as the Romans, they were kind of like an extension of the Roman rule. So instead of the Romans telling the Jews how to practice their faith, they had these leaders and elders who kind of gatekeepers in that area, and they served in that role. It wasn't them functioning in their role as God's spokespeople or those who were working on behalf of God. They were Roman appointees, but they were people of influence. They had a lot of influence. I don't know if you come across that in your daily life. A few years ago, we were starting the work of Youth with the Mission in Fiji. And in Fiji, the government, Fijian national government, deferred all the things that pertain to Christian faith to the Fiji Council of Churches. So if anything comes up, it gets, instead of the government dealing with it, they just refer it to the Council of Churches. And we were starting out, so the Council of Churches, they saw themselves as the gatekeepers, and the last thing they wanted was any cults coming into Fiji. And so their first effort at interacting with us was to stop us getting any visas for foreigners. And anything that came, we wanted to push forward, they would just block. We weren't wise enough to realize what was happening. We thought the government was turning it down, not realizing that every application we made to the government went to the Council of Churches for ratification. Similar to this, there was an authority set up that was serving the bigger umbrella authority. But God is far bigger than that. And this is why Jesus could work in comfort, knowing he had an authority. It's interesting, he didn't answer that question. He did not. The three synoptic gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke all tell this story. And in none of them does Jesus answer that question. But I think this morning it's important that we answer the question. That we don't take it for granted. So I'm going to spend a bit of time this morning going through the Gospel of John. Because it's through the whole Gospel you see Jesus answering this question. So, if we start, I think it'd be good to start in John 4. We'll end up in John 1 eventually. John chapter 4, and I'll just read verse 34. This is when he's been ministering to the woman at the well, and the people, the disciples come back, and they're wondering where did he get his food. And Jesus explained, he said, my nourishment comes from doing the will of God who sent me and from finishing his work. Okay? This was a theme through Jesus' life. It is God who sent him. He was a sent person. His authority came from the one who sent him. That's where his authority came from. Skip over. We're going to do a little cruise through John. So you might want to write the reference down. If you got your Bible, you can turn there or flick on your cell phone if you got the Bible there. John chapter 5 and then verse 30. He says, I can do nothing on my own. I judge as God tells me. Therefore, my judgment is just, because I carry out the will of the one who sent me, not my own will. He was sent to do the will of the Father, the will of the one who sent him. A little further down, if we read verse 37, it says, and the Father who sent me has testified about me. You have never heard his voice or seen his face. He's representing the unseen God, the God that normal human beings don't see. And yet Jesus is representing him. He's being his face. First John, in John's letter, in the epistle, he writes, no one has seen God at any time. But if we love one another, God abides in us. We start to get the reflection of who we are. We are the face of Jesus. We're the image of God. We're supposed to be. We trust that when people look at us, they see God. Hopefully. Most of the time. John chapter 1 verse 18 also says, no one has seen God at any time. But I, the only, the Son of God, the begotten Son, have seen him face to face. Jesus saying, you haven't seen him, I have. As you see me, you see him. So representing the unseen God. We go to chapter 6 and verse 38. For I have come down from heaven to do the will of God who sent me, not to do my own will. Again, is that repeating? That's a theme that continues through. Chapter 7 says, those who speak for themselves want to glorify only themselves. But a person who seeks to honor the one who sent him speaks truth, not lies. You're speaking for the one who sent you, you got no reason to lie. If you're speaking for the one who sent you, you're not seeking people to affirm you. You're wanting them to recognize the one who sent you. You have a message from somebody who has sent you. You want to glorify him. You want to bring honor to him in your presentation, in your life. Chapter 8, verse 29. And the one who sent me is with me. He has not deserted me, for I do what pleases him. Isn't that awesome? That Jesus had that confidence that not only was he sent, but he's not alone. That the one who sent him is with him. He's never deserted. Anybody feel deserted sometimes? You find your place, you know that that's where God wants you to be, and yet you feel so alone. Right? And we just need that confidence. No, I'm here because he sent me. I'm not deserted. Quick run through John here, isn't it? So you can see John's heart. Now, John was Jesus' brother, so he lived even in all the years that we don't hear about Jesus, between the time he was 12 and the time he was 30. We don't read about it, but John was with him that whole time. He was actually his brother. So when I read this and I see this is from somebody whose life is intertwined with Jesus every day, all those years, that's a bit of weight for me. Chapter 12 and verse 49. I don't speak of my own authority, the Father who sent me has commanded me what to say and how to say it. And I know his commands lead to eternal life. So I say whatever the Father tells me to say. Isn't that awesome verse? I love that verse. Jesus saying, I know that what he wants me to say is going to give life. What I might say, I got no guarantee that's going to give anything. But the words of God will always give life. But it's important. I think there's a little piece in there that we can overlook. He says, the Father who sent me has commanded me to say, commanded me what to say and how to say it. Very important little part of the verse. It's not just what you say, but how you say it. We all know that you can speak the truth and bring death. Or you can speak the truth and bring life. And we need to be speaking under his authority, under his direction. And we need to be jealous of the fact that whenever we speak the truth, we want to speak life. That's our heart's desire. To do that, we need to speak it under his authority, anointed by his Spirit. So it can't be out of self-will. It can't be out of self-interest. It's got to be on his terms. And I think for us, one of the easiest things or good guidelines for us is, before you speak his word, pray. If you haven't prayed for somebody, don't give that person the word of the Lord. You're probably going to minister death or condemnation, or you're going to come across self-righteous, and it's not going to achieve the purpose of God. All right? Pray. Pray for them. Get God's heart for them. Then out of his heart for them, minister his word. Speak his word. So, we need to be willing to listen. We need to be able to speak his word. Now, I'm saying that, but there's times you're going to speak his word and you had no idea. You didn't have time and in the moment to pray. I'll give you one example. I was up doing a course in Hawaii and 10:30 was lights out time. 10 o'clock, quiet time, so you have to be quiet, no more laughing and carrying on. And so it was just after 10, it was quiet time, and I thought, oh, I'll head down to my room. And all the single boys were down in the basement. And so I was heading down. And as I walked past the lecture room where we had the lectures, there was a girl from Kent in England, an 18-year-old girl. She was sitting there, but she looked so troubled. She looked so down. And as I walked down, I just felt, oh, you know, I wasn't on staff. I wasn't in a place to go minister to that girl. Right. So I walked down. I got to my room, you know, went down, brushed it, and this was just on my mind. And so I just said, God, you know, minister, I don't know what's going on. And I felt so clearly to go to her and say, Simon's all right. Who's Simon? 18-year-old, probably boyfriend. Hey, left a boyfriend at home or something, you know? And so I go up, he's still sitting there, and I sheepishly go and I said, I don't know what this might mean to you, but I just think I need to tell you that Simon's all right. And I go to take off, because I don't know who Simon is or anything. And she just burst into tears. So then I got to run, look for somebody who can come and minister to her. After 10 o'clock at night, shouldn't be a guy ministering to this single girl by herself. So I go and find somebody in Acre. Anyway, she tells me a couple of days later, Simon was her son. Pardon me. That was the end of this. That night was the end of the second year after he'd been adopted. From that point on, she wouldn't have access to him. And that's why she was so troubled. But there was a word for her. She, we became good friends, but that She just they couldn't have been a better word for her at that particular. I had no idea that's what God wanted to say. All right. But it ministered to her. It's funny, there's another same girl, total different circumstance. We'd been on outreach, Maui, and then we'd been to Indonesia, and then we went our separate ways. 3 years later, I was preaching in Fiji. I was back in Fiji, I was preaching, and I was preaching a message that I had preached so many times in Indonesia. It was kind of like, you go to God and say, what should I preach tonight? And this passage would come. And then for 3 years, I hadn't preached on that passage. But this particular morning, I was preaching on it in a small AG church in Lotoka in Fiji. As I was preaching, who should walk in the door but this girl who'd heard this message so many times in Indonesia. And she walked in and I go, oh no, this one's heard everything about it that I've said, you know. But God is so faithful if we would listen to Him. I believe one of the things that I do know is God loves to get us to minister to one another. He'll give us words for each other. He'll also give us things to pray about. And this is the key. Take this with you. Sometimes He will show you what to pray on the condition you can keep a secret. If you feel you have to tell people about it, God may not tell you. When we pray for one another, just because God gives doesn't mean we can tell everybody everything. Often, our intercession is very private. I won't go. Let's go on, otherwise we won't get even finish this part of the chapter 21. Maybe one more verse. Chapter 14. It says, anyone who does not love me will not obey me. And remember, my words are not my own. What I am telling you is from the Father who sent me. Interestingly, now he's talking about obedience to Him, what He says, and His authority because He was sent. If you go back to Matthew 21, the very next portion after this one that we're looking at today is which son did the will of his father when he told his sons to go to the field. One says, oh, I'll go. And never went. And then the other one said, ah, no, I'm not going to go. But he went. Eventually turned around and went. And in Matthew, Jesus asked, which one did the will of the Father? The key is obedience. Us obeying. And this is what Jesus is saying here. Anyone who doesn't love me will not obey me. Our obedience comes out of our love for Him. So that's 14 chapters in John. And just sprinkled through the whole thing is Jesus reminding us that He was doing the will of the Father. By what authority did He do it? The authority of the Father. The authority of the one who sent Him. That's what, when we say we're ambassadors, that's what we are. We have the authority of the one who sent us. So if you're not representing anybody, you've got no authority. You're not submitted anywhere, you got no authority. That's why Jesus said the Roman centurion had great faith. He said, I am a man under authority, not a man in authority. We had 1987, we had a coup in Fiji. And the colonel of the army who did the coup was Rambuka at the time. And I remember one of the interviewers, I don't know if it was Aussie or Kiwi interview, says, by whose authority did you do this? And he said, mine. No authority. All right. Who is he? But I think that question prompted him. He realized that he needed to be under authority. He realized that that coup would not last more than a week if he carried on being the authority. Because in Fijian culture, he was born as a warrior. He was only a warrior. He was not a chief. And so what he needed to do was immediately get his chief, the paramount chief of his confederacy, and make that guy president. Now he's submitted to the president, he can become prime minister. That's what he did. just recognizing that truth. Our authority is what's delegated to us. And Jesus understood that. Jesus understood. And we need that in both ways. The positive way, so that we can have confidence, because a lot of times we need to reassure ourselves that God is with us. But we also need it so that we can trust Him to work through us. So one, sometimes we need confidence to face others. Sometimes we need confidence to just say, God can use me. I'm usable. I'm useful. One more verse in John. This is a key one for us. And I think this is what I want to as our takeaway today. John chapter 20 and verse 21. And He said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." All right? There was a change after the cross, after Jesus' death and resurrection. You'll read in the gospel, you'll see that there was a major change. Up until this point, everything Jesus did was authority that was delegated from the Father. But in Matthew 28, Jesus says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." After His resurrection, He was now the authority of the universe. What He says goes. And it's in that authority He says to us, "As the Father sent me, I'm sending you." So whatever we do, we're doing in His authority. So when you find yourself somewhere, you think, "I am here representing Jesus. I am here. The purpose, I am here." And your effectiveness in that place is tied intrinsically to you representing Jesus. Not necessarily who you are, but the fact that you represent Jesus. And there's power in that. People will other people in authority will recognize that. We get tested on it. The enemy will contest that and try to say, "You don't have authority. By what authority do you do that?" Sometimes it's up front. Example in our household this year, Sue had a challenge. She's been teaching for years. She used to teach a lot of health classes. She taught English. She's teaching mainly ESOL now. But beginning of the year, she finds she's been reallocated a health class. And that's fine. She'll take any challenge. Good team person, too. And so she's going to take it on. And then she gets one weekend. I can still remember the weekend when she's sitting at home on Saturday morning looking at the stuff that she's going to start teaching and realize everything here goes against my values. This unit of work just encourages promiscuity and it encourages all the wrong things. In other words, for my values, this paper will minister death to these young people. It doesn't minister life. She is now faced with a dilemma. Is she in that school because that's where Jesus wants her? Or is she there to fulfill the New Zealand curriculum? Now that's a tough one. That's a tough place to be. All right. I admire her choice. She approached the head of the department and the principal. She said, "I'm not going to teach this particular unit. I will teach another unit. I will take the class, but not teach that unit." So today, she is teaching another unit. A unit that will help them gain life, that will give them life, that will help them to live healthy rather than promiscuous. That's the work of the kingdom. That's why we need Christians in education, where they can represent God. They can walk in their authority. And I can tell you, she may not recognize it, but she has more authority in this year. I've seen her working with her shoulders high, walking far more than all the other years before. The enemy wanted to take her down. He lost. All right? Because she walked in the authority that Jesus gives. That's where the rubber meets the road. It's when Jesus walks into our workplaces. It's when Jesus walks into the mall with us. All right? I know, I love shopping too. And, you know, retail therapy? That's just a band-aid. Sorry, folks. Doesn't last. Sometimes it's this short, so short, it just only lasts from one shop to the next. Because you walk into the next shop and you see it cheaper, and there all the joy is gone. That's retail therapy. I'll tell you one that lasts, though. Retell. Retell therapy. Retell the things that God has done in your life. I tell you what, it lifts you higher than any shopping can do. Okay? So when you feel like, oh, retail shopping today, retail therapy, no, do a retell. You might meet somebody in the mall. You think, oh, I'm just going to tell him what Jesus just did for me. I'm going to just tell him this story that I just heard from my brother Ray at church. Right? Oh, that's awesome. Why? You're bringing the authority of Jesus into the world. Okay, so as the Father sent him, how's the time going? Okay. As the Father sent me, so send I you. Jesus is with us. I mentioned at the start about the Fiji Council of Churches. Just a couple of months after we were getting started, the Anastasis, that's a YWAM ship, went around New Zealand a few years ago. It was going to come. But we needed to have permission for the ship to come into Fiji. Well, the Fiji Council of Churches were giving us a tough time. We were meeting with them, met in the morning, met in the afternoon, and we had to go back and meet with them again at night. 4 o'clock in the afternoon, we had the director for YWAM who was in New Zealand at that time, and a guy from the ship. I said to him in the afternoon, tonight, if you guys go, I'm not going to go. I'm going to pray. I went and got 2 other Christians who were not YWAM, just guys who loved Jesus, ministering in Suva at the time. And I said, look, we want this ship to come. Let's go pray. So we went down to the waterfront. And we stood there on the top of our voices. We said, we are children of the living God. We are Fiji citizens. And so we invite this ship to come. We open the way. We want this ship to come. They couldn't explain why. And the next meeting was so short, they agreed to let the ship come. That's intercession. We need to do that at times. All right? We had a time where we had 3 cyclones in a row in Fiji. First one, second. By the time the third one passed through, people were just exhausted. Nobody wanted to get out and even start fixing their house. And then word came that there was a 4th one coming. And I heard that this, and they said it was going to be bigger than the other 3. And I thought, 4th cyclone, that's going to be the end of it. Everything's been shaken so much, it's just going to puff everything over. It's going to be gone. And I asked my friend who was in charge of programming at the radio station in Suva, when did this thing come up? He said, oh, it was first told by a leader of the Hindu community in Motoka. And it was picked up by... I said, it didn't come from the weather office, did it? No. I said, all right. So I just got on the phone and just called around. People, friends, Christians, I said, pray. People are talking about a 4th cyclone. It's going to come, they reckon it's coming on such and such a day. Let's take authority. Let's say, no, it's not going to come. I was just so angry that we could have a faith group, a group that's gathered about it, that are saying that this destruction is going to come. And we prayed. I tell you what, the day came and it was one of the most beautiful days we've had for you. It was awesome. We don't have to take what is. Alright? But we've got to do things Jesus' way. We don't go out and, you know, for years I've wanted in Fiji, just for God to give me the okay to go pray when the people are doing the fire walking, so they burn their feet, you know, that they can let the, I just want to go bind the demon so that they can't walk on fire anymore. But God never said yes. But we walk in God's authority. There's another time where I was actually up in Hawaii. Oh, I should tell you one other bit here. I went in to speak to the permanent secretary for immigration because the council of churches were blocking us getting our visas and stuff. So I went to go and talk to him. I was concerned. I was thinking, this is a really important meeting. It's a make or break meeting. We're either going to be able to bring volunteers to work in Fiji or not. And so I went in. I was trembling a little bit. I was a bit concerned. This is the top. This is the last resort. There's no one after this appeal. So I walk in. And as I walk in the door, I am blown away. Because here's the government official, and he stands up, comes out from behind his desk to shake my hand. Hey, government officials don't do that. They sit behind the desk, and if you're lucky, they might look over the top of their glasses. Because you're a nothing. They're not going to stand for you. That's what we got from the British. You stand for important people. Okay. But I tell you what, God met him as a Fijian. I didn't know again till a couple of weeks later. I shook his hand. And he went back and he couldn't do enough for me that day. He sat there and he basically just opened me up. Yeah, yeah, that's fine, that's fine. Everything was yes. God, man, you're doing it, you know? Anyway, a couple of weeks later, I heard from one of my friend's father of a friend of mine. He said, oh, you went and visited so-and-so. I said, yeah, I went to his office. He said, yeah, he told us. He told us in our cell group. Oh, yeah, he said, when you came in, he just knew he had to stand up. And when you shook his hand, he said he felt his knees shaking. I had no idea. Tell you what, that's God. That was God. There was nothing about me. It was because I was there to do God's purpose. I was there to do His purpose. We have no idea the things that God will do if we just move in obedience to Him. So, a couple of years later, I'm up in Hawaii. We got a team coming from Australia to Fiji. And they booked up. It's a drama team. Doing this fantastic drama. And all they've booked up in all the churches. The Fiji Council of Churches tells the immigration department, oh, we don't want this team to come because they're disrupting all the church programs for Lent. Sorry, for Advent. Christmas, Advent. They're disrupting the Advent church programs, so we prefer if they don't come. I'm in Hawaii and I hear this. I'm up there 3 months, doing a 3-month course. So all I say is, take the itinerary, all the churches that have been booked up, go down to the permanent secretary and tell him, Neville says, this is what the council of churches says, but this is actually the churches that want us. Overturned it. Okay. Now, that was incredibly significant. From that point on, immigration department no longer the South Council of Churches. They lost their authority because they tried to stop the work of God. That's how awesome our God is. You dare not get in His way. But man, the joy of being in what He's doing. A few years ago, Sue and I had a wonderful opportunity. We were invited to the Governor General's residence up there in Mount Eden. We're going to have afternoon tea with the Queen of England. Awesome. And I was a real good islander. The Queen was up there, up the top of the garden. I stayed right down the bottom, as far away as I could, you know. And that's what you do. You don't get near royal. But before you know it, there's the Queen and Prince Philip right in front of us and shaking hands. What do you say to the Queen of England? Got nothing to say, you know? I said something extremely profound to the Queen of England. I said, "This is my wife's suit." That's all I could say. Pass the buck, move her on. But I don't share that with you, but I'll tell you this. It was a real privilege to be there. That's a tremendous personal honor. But there's no comparison between meeting her and being in the presence of the King of Kings. Absolutely not. There's been a couple of times in my life where the presence of God was so thick we couldn't stand. That's the type of thing I long for. Just see and feel the presence of God. And we find that, and you feel that when you're in the center of what He wants you to do. There's nothing more fulfilling than that. So by what authority are you doing what you're doing? It's a good thing. You find Jesus saying this so often. What it tells us is He was constantly mindful of His mission. He didn't just remember it once in a while. It seems like every consecutive chapter He's got a reference to who sent Him, why He's doing what He's doing. And that's, if we can bring that into our lives, that we bring Jesus in there, and we evaluate, am I here? Is this where Jesus wants me? Oh, it's tough, it's hard, but guess what? He wants me here. Hallelujah. We'll get through today. Alright? Joy is going to come. And I think that's for us. So by what authority? Jesus didn't have to answer the question because His life answered the question. The way He lived was that He recognized who sent Him. So let's go. He sent us. When Jesus said in John 20 there, He said, "As the Father sent me, so send I you." Oh, that's the old English. He said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." The next verse. Then He breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." The next line. Go in the power of His Spirit. That's what will make our lives. That is what gives us power. That gives us fulfillment. Then the next part of chapter 21, which son did the will of the Father, doesn't become an issue for us. Because we're doing what God wants. We stand where He wants us to stand. We move to where He wants us to move. Let's pray. Father, we thank You. We thank You for the example that Jesus is to us. And we thank You that You have called us to Yourself, that through the work on Calvary, You have made us worthy to be Your ambassadors. It's not an issue of worth. It's not an issue of feeling like doing things. It's because You have called us. We can go about our daily lives in the center of where You want us to be. Thank You for that awesome privilege. We pray that You would help us to be effective in the places we are. That we would go out after each Sunday encouraged, equipped again to be Your voice, to be Your face, to speak Your words, ultimately to impart Your life to others. That people may come to know You, that You would receive honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.